Welcome to the 15 Minute Client Podcast, the show for coaches and experts who want consistent, high-paying clients. It's for those coaches and experts who are tired of the complex automations, they're tired of the hair-raising tech, they're tired of the convoluted funnels, they just want simplicity. If that's you, the 15 Minute Client Podcast is for you.
Hey, this is Luke Charlton here and welcome back to the 15 Minute Client Podcast. We're excited to have you here on this beautiful Monday morning. In today's podcast, I'm going to talk about how to hire setters. The previous one was about how to hire salespeople and how my sales team helped me and my business partner get to our first 100K month. It's 112,000 in sales within 3 months of us becoming business partners. So that's pretty cool. But part of that team is also having setters. So what is a setter? Well, a setter is someone that can book appointments, you know, put appointments on your calendar or your sales, you know, your sales team's calendar. And you can use them in different ways. So the way that we use a setter, the way we get clients is a two-step funnel. So what that means is three steps. So the first step is they fill out an application, right? So this is the company that helps women with their finances. So the first thing we do is they go through and they fill out an application that basically tells us, hey, you know, what type of job do you do? What's your income? What's your superannuation, which is a 401k here in Australia? What is, you know, how much money can you put towards investing, etc.? So from that initial application, we know whether that's our first filter, our first level of qualification. If they're unemployed, we redirect them to a page that doesn't have the calendar. If they are employed, then we redirect them to a page that has the calendar. And that first call is a triage call. It's a 15-minute call. And we have our setters taking that call. So that's a 15-minute call. And basically it's to jump on the phone with them and to kind of go through the answers in their application, just get some clarity. Because an application, as I've said many times on this podcast, you know, asking questions in an application, it's nice, but it doesn't give you all the information you need. You really do need to jump on the phone with them to find out, you know, for example, I've gotten on the phone with women because I've done the setter calls, jumping in, you know, to help the team. And the application, you know, women will say something like, I've got no savings. And you jump on the phone with them and you ask, okay, so it says here that you've got no savings. Is that correct? And they go, oh, actually, you know, I've got nothing. I've got, you know, there's only $20,000 sitting there. It's like, this is where people answer, you know, they answer the same question differently. You know, it's funny. So for one person, no savings is $20,000. And then for the next person, no savings is like, you know, $100 or whatever. So that's why, again, jumping on the phone and getting that context, asking them, getting that clarity helps us really qualify them. So that's the triage call. And what we're trying to do at that stage is find out whether they have at least $7,000 in savings for our program, and then whether they can put at least $200 a month away to investing in the beginning. So that's the two-step approach. And that's what the setter does. And then if they're qualified, the setter books them in on the salesperson's calendar. So the setter is, for our funnel, is kind of like the second filter. For a lot of coaches listening to this, you don't generally have to send them to an application. We just do, because in this particular market, it behooves us, it's a benefit to us to get their financials before we speak to them. And it acts as another filter, and we can filter out those people that are unemployed. But generally, you know, not all of my clients have that application as a first step. A lot of them, we just send them straight to the triage call. And I love the triage call, as I said before, for traffic. Not only do you get to qualify people and just, you're only spending 15 minutes with them if they're not qualified, but the two-step approach allows you to really build that relationship. It's much easier to close them in the second call versus just a one-call close. So when we put them through to the salesperson's calendar, that person, they're qualified, we know that they're motivated, we know that they've got the money, and so the salesperson is you're speaking to someone that has been a little bit warmed up, and they're speaking to the cream of the crop. Versus if we just did a one-call close and sent everyone through to the salesperson, we're just, you know, spending a lot of time with people that wouldn't be qualified, right? That's why we use these, the application and the setters to filter those people out. So a setter can act as someone that can take those triage calls for you, but they can also, you know, they can be in Facebook groups. So they can do texting in Facebook groups for you, like DMs. I've never really hired setters for that. I'd rather just use them for the triage calls or doing outbound. So what happens with our funnel is people fill out that application. If they're employed, we'd redirect them through to the calendar page. And as I said, the setters take the call. But here's the thing: not everyone books a call who gets redirected to the calendar page. About 40% do. And usually they don't book a call is because they can't find a time. Okay. And so what the setters do is they will call those qualified applicants, right? Say, hey, this is Luke calling from WOW Women, just ringing about the application that you put through to our program, just seeing if now's a good time to chat about that, or if you'd like to book in for a 10-minute chat. So we call them, we do outbound and see if they can chat for 10 minutes right there, or we book them in for the initial triage call. But the point is, your setters, they can do outbound. It doesn't have to be applications. They can call opt-ins. As I said in the previous episode, we had people, if someone opts in for a lead magnet, you get their name, email, and phone number, and then you literally just give them a call. The people that opted in for your lead magnet and say, hey, just calling to see, jump on the phone. We'd like to welcome everyone into our community and see, what you need any help with. And I've spoken about, there's an episode that I did, I think it's my most popular episode, called Zero to Appointments in 24 Hours. And that's how you do it. You just advertise a lead magnet. It's very easy to advertise a lead magnet that gets opt-ins, and you just start calling the phone numbers. If you need appointments, it's a good place to start. Anyway, that's what a setter can do. So they can be very helpful in booking appointments for you. That's their job, is to qualify and book appointments on the salesperson's team. That could be your calendar. It could be, your salesperson's. Anyway, so what's the process to hiring a setter? It's similar to what I mentioned in the previous episode. So here's what I did. Actually, let me just bring up the form. So like I mentioned in the previous episode, we just went to our email list. When we hired salespeople, we just went to our email list. When we went for hiring the setters, we went to the email list. And I just sent an email that's under Tracy's name, because Tracy is the face of the company. And it said, and I actually did an episode on this. It was called episode 305, Employee Attraction is Client Attraction. So if you go to that episode, you'll see the email that I sent out that got me 76 applications for the setter role. Okay. So we send an email. The best place for setters or salespeople is just your own community. That's the best place to start. You already have generated the leads. There'll definitely be people on there that'd be interested in working either part-time or full-time for you as a setter or a closer. That is the best place to go. So anyway, we promoted the setter role to our list and to our Facebook groups and everything, and that email went through to an application. And unlike the sales application, as I mentioned previously, it's the one thing that I would change about hiring salespeople. With the salespeople, they went to this long application that asked them to do a personality profile and record a video. And anyway, with the setter one, I'm like, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to do a shorter application. So this is what I did from the promotional email, saying, hey, if you're interested in this role, click here and fill out an application. And so it was, here's what was in the application. Name, so full name, email, phone number. First question was, are you applying? I like to do kind of multiple choice questions first because it gets them into the form. Are you applying for the full-time or part-time position? So I had full-time 8 hours per day, part-time 4 hours per day. In hindsight, I'd probably have a third option, which would be part-time initially, with the option of going full-time, if it works out. I had a lot of women say that. It's like, I want to start on part-time because I have another role, but if this works out, I'd love to go full-time. So I'd probably add that in next time. Next question was, what do you currently do for work? I'd like to see what industry they're working in. Next, do you have any sales experience? Briefly explain. I mentioned in the email, if you go back to that episode when I read off the email, that they didn't need experience, but if they've got experience in sales or setting, like if they've done setting work before, obviously that's definitely a big plus. So I just was curious about what previous sales experience they had. What appeals to you about this role? So I had a lot of, as I said in the previous episode, women saying, oh, just to get extra money. I had a lot of women saying to earn extra money and the opportunity to work with women. And that for me is a big plus. It's like, it's not, yes, extra money is great, but are you actually passionate about working with our market? What's your desired monthly income? That would just help me gauge what their expectations were. If someone's $20,000 a month or something, he's like, yeah, it's probably a little bit high for the setter role, but a lot of women had $2,000 to $4,000 a month, which is definitely within that target range, actually a little bit conservative, but it's just good to see what their expectations were. And then what do you feel are your biggest strengths? And that's a little bit of a self-reflection type question there. And next time I hire salespeople, I'm going to ask these same questions. I thought the questions were good initial questions to weed out, just to find out people's previous experience and to gauge their level of motivation to working with women. And then from there, out of that 76, I just went through, and anyone that had previous experience plus wanted to work with women, those were the ones that I generally invited through to the group interviews, and that was the next stage. I didn't have time to, unfortunately, do group interviews with the whole 76, all 76 people. It was just me doing the interview process. So yeah, ideally I would love to have spoken with everyone, but we just had way too many people apply. Good problem to have. So I had to eliminate people at the application process, unfortunately. So I just went on experience and whether they wanted to work with women. Oh, and some people had they were doing two or three other jobs. And if they were doing that, I eliminated them on that fact as well. I didn't want to interview people that had, as in the previous, three or four other jobs going on. It's like, you know, how focused can you be on this if you've got other, you know, all those other jobs going on? So that was a red flag for me as well. Okay. So that was the first step was the application. I said, then I filtered them. I reviewed all of those applicants. I highlighted the ones that I'd like to do a group interview with. And then I sent them all an email saying, hey, you know, I'd love to do a group interview with you. I gave them, I think, five different options. I'm doing a group interview for an hour, you know, Thursday at 10 a.m., Friday, 3 p.m., next Monday, 10 a.m., whatever it is. I gave them five options. And it actually worked out quite well. It was pretty evenly spread out amongst the five interviews. I had around 3 to 5 people on each one. And those interviews were just a chance for me, as I said in the previous episode, for me to jump on the phone. And again, I don't really know what their ability is to set at that stage. I wasn't really looking at their skill set. I already kind of knew a little bit about it from their application. It was more just to meet them, to look for the setting role. I want someone that's personable, that can just have a conversation, that is, as a personable, and their motivations are right. So a lot of the women hit that, which was great. There were a few women that I eliminated from the interview stage that just didn't have the right motivation, the right reasons for doing the role. Or one of them, for example, you know, I said, what's your strengths? You know, what's your strengths? What's your weakness? And she said, I don't like roles that are repetitive. And the set of role is repetitive. You're having basically the same conversation, you know, every 10, 15, 20 times a day. It's the same intro. It's the same line of questioning. Yes, you're speaking to different personalities, which is great. But by and large, you're having the same conversation over and over again. That was a red flag. So just looking for things like that, not really obviously looking for the skill set at this stage. I just want to make sure that they're motivated. And then from there, I invited about seven women through to do role plays. So that was the next step. There, in the previous episode, when I was speaking about hiring salespeople, we went to a boot camp, right? Well, the set is, I'm not asking them to sell. We're just asking them to book appointments. The skill set is not as high. And so I just invited them through to a role play where I gave them our set of script. So here's how we open the call. Here's how to ask the questions. Here's how to book them in. And so I gave them that to practice over the weekend. And I said, okay, we're going to do a one-on-one role plays. So that was the next step. And what I was looking for at that stage, again, is not really the skill set, because we can train on skills. What I was looking for really was just their ability to have a conversation. Can they, their tonality. It was quite strange, seeing they're all getting the same script, but the way that they spoke on the phone, we're doing a Zoom call. The way that they spoke, some women were very robotic. Some were just reading the script. They hadn't really prepared. And some were, just conversational and personable. And that was a huge thing for me, because these set of calls are they're the first point of contact for our organization. So I wanted women that were very personable and could have a conversation. Because as I said, we can train on skill. Skilling them up is the easy part. It's like, hey, just follow this script. Hey, remember, next time you do this call, don't ask this question, ask this question. That stuff's easy. It's the social skills that are harder to train, because they're kind of skills that are embedded within us since very young. So it's hard to kind of change a person's personality and the way they speak on the phone. But anyway, so I was looking for that. Now, I did an episode 308 called When to Fire Staff. One of the things that I didn't look at, but I definitely will next time, I realize now looking back, that was very critical, is how prepared is the person? There were some women I interviewed in the one-on-one role plays that were really prepared, and they were really prepared, but they weren't that good in terms of their tonality and their ability to speak on the phone. And for me, looking back, I would I would really like, that's a huge plus on, like, some came to the call, as I said, and they hadn't prepared at all. You could tell because they just like sat there and they looked at the screen. They're literally just reading off the script, and then they got lost, and they're like, oh, wait, where am I? They'll literally say, wait, where am I? Oh no, I'm lost. And they were literally saying, I'm lost. And so you could tell that they just didn't prepare. And for me, like, yes, it's great if you've got good tonality, but if you didn't prepare and you actually didn't do the script the right way, that's a, looking back now, it's a huge negative. And so I would weight the preparation very high, as I said, because for me, it shows their level of motivation. If they're, as I said, they went away over the weekend, they reviewed the script, I gave them some trainings on how to use the script, how the role play is going to go. And some did it, and some did it, and some didn't do it. And I should have weighed those that prepared a lot higher than I did. As I said, I was looking more for tonality, but now I'm going to look for tonality and their preparation as well, because that level of motivation is really high. As I said in that episode, When to Fire Staff, one of the setters that we brought through, they just had a low lack of motivation to meet the expectations that we laid out from the beginning through lack of communication, missing calls, and that was just like literally in the first 2 weeks. So preparation is huge for me now, looking back at when I'm going to be looking that big time next time I hire. So anyway, we did the one-on-one role plays, and then I ranked everyone based on that main factor, which is the tonality. Next time will be tonality and preparation. And then I brought the first one through. I said, hey, XYZ, you win. Let's come train you up and put you on the phones. And then from there, they're still in that. It doesn't mean because you're bringing them through, now they're working with you for years. Like you've now got to put them on the phones and train them up and do call reviews. So I've been doing call reviews with our setter team for the last 8 weeks, training them up, because they, even at that stage, after you give them lots of trainings, they'll still make mistakes and they're still fine tuning. And that's okay. That's part of the process. What I've said to my team, whether it's a sales team or the setter team, I said, I don't care if you make mistakes. We're not looking for perfection. What I am looking for is improvement. So if you're closing at whatever it is, let's say it's 5% of appointments or 10% of appointments, which is below KPI. We want our closers closing above 30%. So let's say you're at 5 or 10%, whatever it is. I don't really care. What I care about is, are you coachable? Are you listening to us? Are you taking on what we say? And are you actually implementing on the calls? Because it's, for me, as long as you're doing that, we're going to see an improvement. If you're not, if you don't listen to our advice and you don't implement our feedback and you're kind of staying stuck, that for me is a problem. As I said, I can train skills, but you've got to be open to coaching. You've got to be implementing that. Okay. So that's what I look for with the sales team and the setters, is not perfection in the beginning, but are they coachable? Anyway, a bit off track there. So that's the process on how to hire setters. So we send them to a short application. We invite them to group interviews. We bring them through to one-on-one role plays, and then we rank them, and then we bring them through. So initially I brought two people through to start setting, and now we've got three setters, and I'll probably bring on a fourth one soon because I'm having to do some of the setting calls at the moment, which is good, but because we've got so many appointments coming through, but ideally I don't want to be doing them in the long term, because I need to be managing, doing other things to grow the business. So anyway, that's the process on hiring setters, and hopefully that has been valuable to you. If it has, I'd love an honest review. Just go to Spotify or iTunes if you haven't given it a review. 15-Minute Client Podcast, and I'll see you in the next episode. See you then. Cheers.